but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
My dad called me today. He has all kinds of weird interactions with people on, like, Facebook Marketplace. He buys and sells baseball gloves mostly, but he had an interaction with some lady in a parking lot where he was selling her a piece of sporting goods equipment, and she, she's supposed to pay for it. Let's just say it's $20 or whatever, and so he hands her the baseball glove, and then she says thank you, and then she goes to drive away, and he says, hey, aren't you going to pay me? And then she looks confused, like she thought it was free. And I said to him, like, do you ever get worried in these situations, like, that you're taking your life in your hands to go sell a baseball glove in a parking lot to somebody, or a fishing lure or fishing rod and reel or a soccer ball? And he's like, no, it's kind of an adventure. And I'm like, okay, do your thing. You do you. Trent Bray in Oregon State had a disappointing opening weekend. Cal got him at Reser Stadium. Beavers didn't look good, and Trent Bray was frustrated. He's joining us now in his weekly appearance on this radio show. Give us an idea what that is like for you to go through that game when things are not unfolding as planned.
Yeah, it was disappointing to say the least for a lot of reasons, but mainly because we didn't play to our capabilities, and that's what was frustrating for all of us, players and coaches.
The film that you watch on game night, you know, the game ends, it's a late game. Do you stay up through the night watching film? Is that something you start to look at on Sunday morning? How much time do you spend dwelling on kind of what went wrong and figuring that out?
I watch it on Sunday because if I watch it the day of, then I'm going to be skewed by emotion. So I wait to come in the next day, put it behind me, and then look at what it is.
Opening drive. You guys, the defense does a nice job. You get a stop. You have, obviously, the special teams unit coming on. You have a substitution issue and a penalty that extends their drive. That had to be incredibly frustrating for you because it was exactly what you guys needed on defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. To go out there, go three and out to start the game was huge for our team, that defensive unit, especially with true freshmen starting at corner, new guys on defense. It was just an energy booster, and to have what happened and put them back on the field was a big deflator for our guys.
This week you get Fresno State. How important is it for you guys to come back and play well after that week one game?
Yeah, it's important. I mean, our response and how we show up and play, it will tell us who we are as a team and who we are as individuals and our competitive nature. So I expect our guys to respond and come back and play at the level that we're, used to seeing them play at and they're capable of playing at.
Is there a danger in, football's supposed to be a fun game, and there's a fine line between intensity and the pressure and the scrutiny and squeezing. Is there a danger in maybe not playing loose in that setting? And do you think that was a factor in week one?
Oh, it's definitely a thing. I think, not playing loose creates, indecision, and indecision is a killer in this game when things happen so fast. So it is important to play loose, play relaxed, and, hopefully in game two, guys that were getting their first starts and young guys that were getting their first starts hopefully have a better feel for what that game is like and are more composed than they were to start the game, for sure.
Yeah, that composure piece, important. Your quarterback, Malik Murphy, I saw, you know, an exchange he had on the sideline with one of your assistants. I didn't like it. I don't like a leader and a coach, you know, having a public moment. But you've been there. You've been the good and bad. Is that a frustration over what's happening in the game, a frustration with play calling, a guy just trying to fire up a coach? What's happening there?
So it's a guy that's definitely the frustration over what just happened. But with Malik, he's just a competitor, and fiery conversations aren't necessarily negative ones. That's just kind of, he's passionate and cares a great deal. And so conversations are fiery sometimes with him, but they're not negative conversations. And that's what that was on the sideline. It wasn't a negative conversation between Coach Langsdorf and Malik. It was just a passionate guy who cares a ton, and things weren't going right.
I went back that night and watched, you know, I don't have the film, I don't have the 11-on-11, but watched the game again on TV, and I thought, gosh, if you get a stop in the opening drive, if you don't turn the ball over as you're having a nice drive in the second half, you know, this is a much different game. Maybe this is a one-score game. Do you leave a film session hopeful or going, gosh, we're right there, or do you leave it going, oh my gosh, there's so many mistakes, I don't know where to start?
No, I think what I felt leaving the film session was, you know, starting on defense was we played three quarters of pretty good defense. You know, that first part of the game got away from us and dug a hole. But when you look at what we were able to do the rest of the game and, you know, hold them to 2 of 13 on third down, I think there's a lot of positives in that. Same thing on offense. I think there's moments where, you know, we just kind of shot ourselves in the foot and, you know, turned ball over when we, like you said, had that drive, and then also turned the ball over and gave him the ball on the 2-yard line to go in. So there were some mistakes that we created that dug a hole for us early defensively and then offensively kept us from, you know, keeping that game where we wanted it.
Trent Bray with us, Oregon State coach. A lot of frustrated Beaver fans. What do you say to them today?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like I've said it before, I mean, losing is not what we're here to do and not what the players are here to do what we're paid to do here. Our job's to win. And so the frustration is absolutely understandable. And we've worked hard, and we're working hard to get those things fixed so that does not become the case.
I left too looking at Cal going, hey, that's a pretty good team. And that quarterback, true freshman, he played really well. Is it possible that, you know, you guys, you didn't play your A game, but you ran into a team that's going to go out and win 9 or 10 games?
I mean, Cal's a talented team, there's no question. And we knew that going in. And I think that quarterback is a good player. And I think he's better than his age is. You know, he's very mature and handled the game very well. They did a nice job, too, of making sure he got rid of the ball fast. He didn't hold it. So they put him in some good situations. Schematically. So I do think that Cal team is a talented team.
You guys, defensively, you gave up some big plays, but I like that, you know, I think you talked about this in the post game that there were, it was a competitive situation. You didn't have guys getting beat. You had guys maybe losing a battle for the ball. How do you practice for that in a week like this?
Yeah, I think it just goes back to, you know, what we work the whole time, and it's how to play through the hands, how to finish at the top of the route, because they were in good position. And then that's the positive. Sometimes there's games where you lose those battles, and that was one of them. And there's a lot of games where you win those 50-50 balls. And so it's just technique and, again, composure in that moment as a corner, not panicking, trusting your technique of how to play the football, how to play the hands of the receiver, and that's what that part is.
How did you guys do as a staff when you kind of look back at, you know, the management of the game, substitutions, play calling, when you do that self-scout and that self-evaluation, it goes beyond sort of the execution part of the game, maybe the coaching part of the game. How did you feel like you guys performed?
I thought the substitution part was not great. And that was something I talked to the staff about that needs to be airtight. We had some substitution issues on both sides of the ball and special teams, obviously the one that was most notable. But things that can't happen, and we can control those. And then those are the things that we have to control as staff. So our guys are, you know, can take advantage of the situations that present themselves and are penalized by, you know, lack of organization, in my mind.
Coach, the Fresno State, you get a fairly young coaching staff or a new coaching staff with that program. What did you see on film as you look at the tape?
Yeah, I think it's a Fresno team that I'm accustomed to, and I think a lot of them are. They're a very talented team. They play hard. They're tough. They're physical. And that head coach, I mean, he's won national championships, you know. I mean, he's a good head coach and has done well everywhere he's been. And then was at USC as the linebackers coach last year, so been a part of that program. So I expect Fresno to come in here and be a very difficult team.
I tend not to look too far ahead on your schedule, but I feel like this is a game that is vital to you guys, and I know they're all vital to you, but how do you start the week, you know, with your team? Because, you know, maybe there's some guys coming out of the game that aren't feeling great about the performance. How do you encourage and motivate, but without it being sort of the piling on of, look, everyone always feels bad after a loss anyway?
Yeah, it's again, back to the process. And, you know, recovery and reload. I think that's part of failure and success. We talked a lot about, you know, the only opinions that matter are the ones in this room, because you're going to hear how great you are when you win and how bad you are when you lose, and neither one of them are true. So we got to stick to our process of how we prepare, how we go to work, and that's what's going to lead to the results that we want.
Coach, you know, your quarterback play, you know, talked a little bit about Malik, but how did you think he did in his first game?
You know, I think like him, he wishes he had some throws back and would have done some things different. I think, you know, his first time in a lot of bullets in this offense, he kind of predetermined some things that he hadn't been doing in practice. And so I think it's trusting the offense and where you're supposed to go with the ball and not trying to do too much at times can hurt you as well. And I think that's kind of what happened on Saturday for him.
All right. Good luck to you on Saturday. Big one at Reser Stadium, 12:30 kickoff. Fresno State, Oregon State. Trent Bray, thank you for coming on.
No problem. Appreciate it.
All right. There he goes. Steven, I want to unpack that a little bit. I had a reason for asking about the intensity on the sideline, and football is supposed to be a fun game, and mentioning that to Trent Bray. His halftime interview as he left the field at Reser Stadium, you know, he was frustrated. He was frustrated with the offense. He called out sort of the offense, saying they had no offensive rhythm. He was obviously frustrated with the fact that the special teams gave Fresno State an additional possession. It didn't look like he was having fun, and his team didn't look like they were having fun on the field. And there is a fine line where you want to be focused, and you want your team to come out and play hard, and you want them to be engaged, but you also – you sort of need your guys to have a you know, a looseness to them that allows them to not overthink. And coaches will even say, as the players who are overwhelmed with scheme move slower on the field. I felt like Oregon State didn't have a good plan, wasn't well organized, and the guys didn't look like they were having any fun out there. And Cal looked like they were flying around and having a party on their sideline.
Yeah, maybe that is, you know, 18 to 23-year-olds, and you're still learning everything about the game. There's so much hype going into it. You're so excited going into that game, and then when it avalanches on you so quickly, and Cal gets up real quick, 14-0, it's like, man, that is a real gut punch, and it just kind of snowballs from there. I did find it interesting, his response to you asking about Malik Murphy and his little, you know, his emotion on the sideline. He just said, look, he's a leader. That's what he does. He's an emotional leader, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. We've kind of heard that all offseason about Malik Murphy, how he has taken that quarterback room and that offense and become a real leader. You've heard receivers talk about it, running backs talk about it. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that one, and I'm going to believe him and say, look, like, Malik Murphy was just frustrated with how the game was going, and that is a common thing. And it's not that he's mad at anybody, and it's not that it's going to be a problem going forward. I do think if it happens again this next week, then right. I think it's something that we need to pay attention to. But I found that very interesting that he kind of went along with what we've heard all offseason about Malik Murphy. So, you know, I think he said the right things. You know, you talked about the frustration, frustrated fans. You've seen on the internet, and he just said, look, we're losing is not what we're here to do. So, you know, it just kind of, he's, again, it's one of those messages where, look, he felt like they were close. The scoreboard didn't represent how close the Beavers were in that game to Cal. He made that point as well. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes in week two. I still have my doubts right now, but I want to be wrong on this one, and I'm rooting for Oregon State in this game.
Well, I think Cal's better than Fresno State. I think Cal is a better team than Fresno State, but you've got to come out, and I think you just have to play better if you're the Beavers, and you have to be more organized, and you have to be ready, because Fresno State's going to come to play. Like, this is a big game for Fresno State. They always circle those games at Fresno State against the traditional Pac-12 teams and the teams that are perceived to be above them in the ecosystem, and they show up to play. And Oregon State fans will remember Derek Anderson and Oregon State, a very good team going to Fresno and losing. Fresno State will fly around, and they will try to make your life difficult. Granted, it's a new coaching staff, but I need to see more from Trent Bray. I just didn't like the plan. I didn't like the organization, and I certainly didn't like the outcome for the Beavers. Here they go again, Fresno State, 12:30 Saturday, Research Stadium. I want you to leave it here. Our big splash is coming up.